This morning we continue our walk with Jesus through the Gospel of Mark. We'll be reading today from chapter 5, verses 21 through 43. Pretty familiar scripture. I think you'll find yourself at home in it. We've been talking about it in our Bible study. This is what's known as a Markan sandwich, a story on two slices of bread, so to speak, with a story in between that both make one sandwich together. So let's listen for the Word of God and any words or phrases that perk up as you hear them, be glad to have you share those with us. Right after Jesus had healed the person with a legion of demons over in the Gentile part of the side of the lake, when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, which would be the Jewish side of the lake, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue, named Jairus, came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." So he, Jesus, went with him, and a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately, her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately, the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this, they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. Thus is the ending of our scripture reading for today. May God bless our hearing and our understanding. So were there any words that were particularly challenging or hope-filled? Or Bob, Do not fear, only believe. Yeah, Sherry. Your faith has healed you or made you well. Yes. Made you well. Anything else? Okay. Your faith has made you well. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Why did they follow? Why did they leave behind families and friends, their jobs, and even their homes to follow Jesus, to fish for people? Why would someone leave behind the connections, the relationships that give life meaning? A person finds his or her identity in life from their family connections. One's very name comes from that connection. Some are inclined to find their identity and worth in their job or vocation or avocation. But the disciples left all of these behind to follow Jesus. Why did they follow? Was it an unshakable faith in Jesus as the Son of God? They had witnessed Jesus heal Peter's mother-in-law, a leper who sought out Jesus, a paralytic whose friends tore a hole in the roof to connect him with Jesus. They followed him into the company of sinners. They followed him in turning away from the legalism of the Pharisees. They followed him across the Sea of Galilee, calming a storm along the way. Then witnessing him casting out a legion of demons. Then back nearer to home, they joined the growing crowd of followers as Jairus, a leader of the synagogue, fell at Jesus' feet and pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so she will be healed and live." We're told that the large crowd followed and pressed around him. Why did they follow him? Well, most likely because no one wanted to miss a miraculous healing. But Jairus had a different motive for following Jesus. Obviously, his daughter was at the point of death. He was desperate. We don't know if he had tried other physicians, how much he had prayed, where he had turned, but Jesus' reputation had drawn Jairus not for his own gain or celebrity, but for love of another, his daughter. And the large crowd came along for the ride. But as the crowd pressed in on Jesus, a woman reached out her hand, not for fame or glory, not for love of a family member, but for a personal connection with Jesus, with the Holy, and the healing that this might bring. This woman had been hemorrhaging, as we read, for 12 years, bleeding continually, which surely made her anemic, and just as surely made her ceremonially unclean among the crowd of followers. That mattered in that culture. The physicians had failed her, we read, even making things worse. So she desperately reached out to touch even Jesus' outer cloak, wanting to be healed, wanting to be reconnected to society, wanting to reconnect with God, who she hoped loved her just as she was. And the procession stopped. "Who touched my clothes?" Jesus asked. Feeling the power of that relationship flow through even his clothes, Jesus sought earnestly for that connection that had been made. But what about the little girl? The disciples and the crowd wanted to know. That was big news in the making. Why worry about a simple touch, a single connection? But the woman, as we read, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter," very important word, "your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." The woman's desire to connect with God's healing power was met with God's desire to connect with her. And healing occurred. Healing of body, healing of soul, healing of relationship. She became a daughter of Israel, no longer an outcast, a daughter of Abraham, a beloved child of God. So, poll question, three things. What was most important? Healing of her body, healing of her soul, or healing of relationship? How many would say body, most important? Soul, how important? Okay. Relationship. It's hard. They're all good. All important. But that's good. Of course, the disciples and the clamoring crowds were right. There was no time for distraction. There was a miracle in the making, but it was too late. While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Why had Jesus come, if not to heal this little girl? Why had Jesus come, if not to perform a spectacular miracle? Why had Jesus followed Jairus on this fateful day? In the Gospel of Mark, we've been reading, Jesus operated by a different set of rules and expectations. Jesus had announced that the kingdom of God has come near. Jesus had invited the disciples and everyone else to repent and believe in the good news. Turn away from earthly rules and expectations, seeking fame, fortune, personal gain and power. Seek the kingdom of God and find healing, forgiveness, reconciliation, relationship, and connections. Follow God. Follow God's purposes and follow God's timing. How often do we ask God to serve our purposes? How often do we confuse our desire with God's desires? Surely God must want what I want. How often do we pray to God to follow our timing? But Jesus reminds us in this story that God's purposes are not the same thing as our purposes. Jesus did not ignore Jairus' desire for his daughter. He told him, "Don't be afraid, just believe." Jairus had followed his love for his daughter and his desire for her healing and reached out in faith to Jesus and simply Jesus said, not to give up. Don't be afraid. Just believe. Follow your desire and see if it is also God's desire. And it was. It's interesting that Jesus brought in only the parents and his closest disciples into the house. Those whose desire agreed with God's own desire for healing, for reconnection, for God's kingdom purposes to be accomplished. And then Jesus reached out his hand and connected with the daughter of Jairus. The little girl came alive. She became a person again, in relationship. Daughter, 12 years old, hungry, alive, alive. Give this girl something to eat. She had been restored to life in and by God's kingdom desires and purposes. So what or who are you following today? Are you following personal desires for fame or wealth or comfort? Possibly even desires of greed or envy or retribution? Or are you following desires for love, forgiveness, relationship, and reconciliation, for peace, for justice, for giving new hope to others? Are you following desires for transformation and renewal, for new life for this church? Are you following a desire that God can use for kingdom purposes? Do you have a desire, a passion to make this world or someone's life better, to build relationships, to give hope, to bring peace, to create joy? I think we can see from our story that God does work through our passions and desires to accomplish his kingdom purposes. And I think God gives us passion and desire so we can push past the storms and hardships and obstacles along the way, so we can serve kingdom purposes through them. Jairus could have given up when Jesus waited for God's timing. The woman could have not reached out one last time. Like the disciples, we all carry mixed desires and motivations. We get curious. We're tempted to follow fame and fortune, to accumulate only for ourselves or for our own family. We get tired and want to let someone else save the world. Are these the desires we will follow? But we also love others. We desire wholeness and peace and joy for all of God's children. We don't want to succumb to all the negativity, judgmentalism, and divisiveness so rampant in our society right now. We desire that God's will be done. We really do want to follow Jesus wherever he might lead, and we each have our own God-given gifts and talents, passions and desires and resources, which we may or may not have followed or made use of yet. Can God use them for good, for God's kingdom purposes? Only if you use them. Only if you offer them to God. Think of yourself and your own gifts and talents and your passions. Think of yourself as a single puzzle piece within the puzzle picture of ministry right here at First Christian Church, within the kingdom of God right here in this community, this neighborhood. The puzzle of ministry, of God's purposes being fulfilled, of lives being transformed, of divisiveness being overcome, is incomplete and less effective without your piece of the puzzle, without your participation, without you following Jesus in building God's kingdom on earth in this neighborhood. So what are you following? When you turn off your TV or computer or phone today and walk out into your neighborhood, who and what will you and your gifts, talents, passions, and resources be following this week, this coming year? Who will you follow? And That's our take-home question for today. Who or what will you follow in 2026? I think that's my second time of saying 2026. It's coming. What will we follow together as First Christian Church? Will you pray with me? Again, O God, we give you thanks for so many blessings, so many opportunities, so many challenges that help us grow and become who you want us to be. We thank you for this time to gather together and give you thanks, to worship you and lift up our praise, to celebrate your goodness and especially the gift of your Son Jesus. So much for us to learn, so much for us to learn how to follow and live as Jesus showed us. So we pray, Lord, that you would keep us open, our hearts open and willing to hear your word and to notice those challenges and opportunities, those gifts all around us, reasons to give thanks, reasons to follow, to reach out and make a difference. We do this in Jesus' name. Amen.